This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Well, we have been on this journey since May this year, profiling different political parties and what they have on offer for the electorate, for the upcoming local government elections. Of course, when we started off, there was a great deal of uncertainty whether or not the elections would go ahead this year. But we sort of had a hunch that, you know what, let's get the work done. And I think we are probably on political party number 20. I'll just check with my team. We are talking to the African National Congress this morning, and I'm joined by the National Executive Committee member, Dakota Lekgwete. Dada, it's always a pleasure to be in conversation with you. Dumel.
Legai Mukhaitsu. Thank you very much, my brother, and good morning to all the listeners of Power FM.
No, thank you so much for making the time, and I know that Utswagogae in the Northwest, so thank you so much for honoring our invitation this morning. Perhaps before we get into the meat of the manifesto, let's try and remind society of the character of the African National Congress. When we talk about the ANC, what animal are we talking about?
No, thank you very much once again. The African National Congress, it's the national liberation movement whose aim was to liberate blacks, but Africans in particular, from the bondage of apartheid colonialism. It's an organization that has an outlook of an African national movement, which currently is the governing party in South Africa. In 8 provinces plus national and a number of municipalities. But so far, we are on course to deal with the legacies of apartheid colonialism. And that's in simple and small analogy I can say about the African National Congress.
And of course, as you are preparing to come into power as the African National Congress, one of the things that preoccupied you was how to reimagine governance in South Africa, and the birth of the wall-to-wall municipalities then came into being as early on into our democracy, reconfiguring a number of localized municipalities and covering certain areas that were not in the jurisdiction of some municipalities. We have had and seen a big debate now in society as to whether or not these municipalities are still working as best as they were envisaged to work. As the ANC, you govern a lot of these municipalities. What would you say are the greatest lessons you've taken from local government? And as you are now coming into another election, giving, you know, a manifesto filled with promises and commitments to society, but what are some of the lessons you've taken in the municipalities where you have governed?
No, thank you very much once more. Look, one of the major lessons we have learned as the African National Congress over a period of time since we took over is the question of municipalities which are not economically sustainable to can create and generate their own revenue and a tax base. Secondly, is the sustainability of the spatial development framework as well as the land use management. There are some municipalities where we have a municipality, and sometimes it's an amalgamation of some smaller towns and small dorpies, which on their own, they can't create their own revenue, and it's a problem. But the second thing is that you struggle even to attract the necessary skills, in particular in terms of internal audit, in terms of engineering, in terms of medical science, and a number of skills that we need to run and drive service delivery. You struggle to get them. In some instances, you struggle even to get manufacturing plants in some of the small dorpies because some of them needs the necessary engineers, the necessary water technicians, wastewater treatment plant technicians. And some of these skills, you struggle to attract them to the rural and the periphery of the periphery areas in our country. And it's a challenge that we have also encountered. The other thing is maintenance of infrastructure that we have managed to build over the past 20 years, which we sometimes struggle to maintain because of lack of the necessary skills in the rural areas and a strong rural municipality. So everybody, we have realized that even despite the fact that we have succeeded to bring liberation to our people, but economic liberation is still a challenge because many are still migrating to cities because it's difficult to build industries, to build factories, and to attract necessary investment in some parts of the country. So these are some of the things that came as a challenge. And that's why now we are talking of a district development model that we are bringing in. In a district development model, just in short, what we are promoting there is what we call shared service model. Now we will have three spheres of government, which is local, which is district, province, and national, in the same space. So if there's a project that has to deal with bulk water supply, all those particular spheres of government will sit together, plan together, ensure that that particular project that they are bringing is not only going to cover one municipality, but it can cover the entire district. There's economic spin-offs from that particular project must be shared also by the district, as well as job opportunities which should be created there must be shared by the district. But again, what we are talking to is the question of other municipalities, because of failure to attract necessary skills, it's difficult. So if you have engineers in a district, if you have internal auditors in a district, if you have all the necessary capacities and skills that you need in a district, you are able to can spread it throughout that particular district to small areas, to small villages, and to small towns in that particular district. But that is part of what we're also looking at in terms of economic development. If you have small or urban farmers who plant spinach, in a district model, you are able to can create a district market where those fresh produce and all those products, which would be coming from villages, which would be coming from our yards, would be able to can be bought by the fresh produce market, which is in a district, which is local. But we're also looking at a point where we can even get petroleum pipelines from the harbor to some of our districts so that we reduce the cost of buying petrol in the country, because part of the cost is made expensive by the traveling cost. And I think it's a matter that we can, if through a district development model, get a petroleum network throughout the country in all the district, it can make the cost of petroleum as well as diesel and paraffin,
I mean,
very cheap for
of course, Ntate Lekgwe, the idea of a district development model seems to be an attempt to fine-tune what is there in KwaZulu-Natal through the Operation Sukuma Sakhe. We know that in your home province, the then Premier Supra Maumapelo tried to have a focus on small dorpies, villages, as a clear development agenda. There have been issues that have been, policies that have been attempted in various provinces. Where do you think things have gone wrong? Because at least for you, you have the advantage where, unlike an opposition party that governs a municipality, they'll cry foul and say, yeah, but the province is not aligned with us politically. You have a seamless alignment from local, provincial, right to national, across the three spheres of government. Where has it not been working properly?
Look, where it has not worked properly, it is the coordination of all three spheres of government. For instance, there's what we call Division of Revenue Act, the DORA Act. The DORA Act, it works per capita. So where there's a high density of people, it's where the large amount of money of the taxpayers goes. And in a case of South Africa, in terms of our apartheid special development framework, majority of areas which were not developed in the past are in your rural areas and in the periphery of the country. Now, if you take more of the taxpayers' money to Johannesburg, to Cape Town, you will struggle to develop Lusikisiki or Taung in the next 50 years. So I think we'll have to look at how we allocate taxes to spheres of government, because currently, despite local government being at the coalface of service delivery, it has not received the necessary amounts of revenue from taxpayers or either from treasury to work on some of the bulk infrastructure. But some of the municipalities, the challenge they have is of skills capacity. You can bring a lot of monies if you don't have proper engineers who can do the planning, if you don't have proper chief financial officers who can do financial planning, if you don't have the necessary skills required to drive that particular infrastructure project that we are bringing, you'd still have a challenge. And that is one of the things we are looking at. And that's why we are bringing in the district development model as our flagship moving forward, because we have realized that based on the backlog of apartheid spatial development framework, which only looked at 8 nodal points as economic catalysts of the country, Johannesburg, Tshwane, Polokwane, Port Elizabeth, Bloemfontein, Cape Town, you name them. It's about 8 of those Durban, which are called metros today. Those are your economic catalysts. And the rest of the country, we are spectators, or either we must migrate to those areas to get opportunities. And that is a challenge. And I think part of the things we need to work on as the African National Congress moving forward to improve the situation is to turn around our spatial development framework, because people can't forever migrate to cities. There's going to be backlog. There's going to be challenges of service delivery. And some of those particular infrastructure that we have in those cities would not be in a proper position to sustain huge numbers of people who move to those cities. And I think the biggest burden on government today, including the ANC, is to say, how do we, in a village or in a rural area, create a manufacturing plant, create the necessary industries, create an irrigation scheme that can sustain those particular village people to be involved in small-scale agriculture so that they can sell their produce to the district market and ensure that they create their own job opportunities. You know, an example of women in the Eastern Cape of Pondoland. They have been in the marijuana business for as long as we remember.
Yes, but
I don't understand why government for now can't license them.
Yes, but the same government has been, in fact, putting poison on their plantations, killing them, which then runs to the rivers, kill their cattle, especially in the area of Port St. John's. Great deal of work has been done to highlight the problematic of the approach to try and move people away from marijuana, something we might need to come back and talk about, because I wrote a piece probably 2 years ago arguing that the people who should be at the forefront of the new dispensation, given that Concord judgment, should be those communities where they were once criminalized for their activities on cannabis.
But you are correct, my brother. But that's the route to grow, to go. Because if you empower those women in Pondoland, you are giving opportunity to over 1 million people. And that is a serious jobs that we need.
And then some in Mzumbe, in KZN, and then you know the other areas where they are.
We talk over 2 million people that can get job as in tomorrow.
Absolutely. People of power, I'm in conversation with Dakota Lekwete, NEC member of the African National Congress. It is 23 minutes past 10. You can be part of the conversation, 0861-987-000. It's already taken us through some of the challenges that municipalities are dealing with. We'll also delve into some of their key manifesto areas that, you know, they are conversing this time around. I will read from the message of the president in the manifesto just to get a sense of what he's saying. I mean, he touched me very much there, talking about Lusikisiki. Of course, that's my home municipality, Engqusa local municipality. Our problems are many there, but let's pay some bills and carry on with the conversation.
9 a.m. to noon. This is Power Talk on Power 98.7.
25 minutes past 10 this morning, we are talking to the African National Congress. Dakota Lekwete joins me, the NEC member of the ANC. 0861-987-000 is the dial this morning as we continue. So just as you can start coming through on the line, and we'll take your calls definitely with him as we go along. We have him until top of the hour at 11 o'clock. Dakota, it must be difficult to go back to an electorate, and I saw this when the president was launching the manifesto, his language and how he was trying to reach out to society to say, look, we know we've been there, we've made some mistakes, but it must be hard when you have been there and people are saying, but you failed us, and you have to make them believe that you are still the only possible. That's what you say, at least, as the ANC, that the ANC is still the only vehicle that can liberate and emancipate the people. But people are saying, but we've been giving you time and again some votes for you to do exactly these things, but we don't see them in reality. What do you have to say to those sentiments?
Look, I must say that so far, as the African National Congress, we have done well. And so far, there are instances that we have not done good. You may say some of these things are not local government delivery points, but any human capital development, it does not take into cognizance the sphere of government.
Mm.
It takes into consistency consistency question of delivery of services. As the African National Congress, just in a nutshell, we have been able to can put some of our poorest of the poor into a social security net, which provides for over 18 million people today in terms of social grants and all those grants. We are in a position in our school nutrition program to give food to children who could not have breakfast or break at school, over 9 million of them. We have been able to can put roofs over 3.8 million houses that we have allocated, which houses more than 15 million people whose dignity has been restored by just having what is called home. We have been able to can build infrastructure network throughout the country, including roads, rail, the way we are used to Gautrain. It looks like it's no longer a delivery point, but it is. The other point is even that we have improved on our Broadcast and Communication Act. We have amended it because before, only the state had the monopoly of broadcasting in the country. But today we have stations like yourself, Power FM,
but
and a number of community
radio
stations.
But let's deal exactly with that. When you say this might not be local government delivery touch points, which is true. If you talk about the Gautrain, the provincial government had to be at the forefront of leading that. At the local level, you talk about Lusikisiki. I'm from Flagstaff. In my village, there is a water project. The taps have been standing still. Not a drop has come out in the last 3 years. They've been standing still. How do you inspire the person in that kind of context where delivery comes half-heartedly on what the district, at least, or Tambo district, would have had to deliver for them in that locality because they are responsible for the bulk water infrastructure? How do you inspire that person to vote for you?
Look, part of the things that we said we are bringing as a solution. In Flagstaff, it's difficult to attract a water or a hydro engineer. It's difficult to attract an internal auditor to work in that countryside. So what we are bringing in, it's what I've earlier referred to as a shared service model, which would be at the district level, to get some of the necessary skills to that part of the country to go and assist. Because if the issue of water, there is a source, but there's no water in the taps, obviously it's a question of the flow of water, the reticulation, the topography, and some of those particular demands need somebody with the necessary skills to can do them. And that's what we are bringing in to as part of the inspiration to some of the people at that part of the country. What we are also bringing in a shared service model, it's a question of ensuring that we build local economies in all our districts so that we don't get a lot of us migrating to Johannesburg when we can actually create Johannesburg in some part of our areas where we live and part of our villages. I mean, in a village, we need to improve our irrigation schemes so that we get our people to farm. We should improve the whole animal husbandry so that we get our people to produce enough meat for our economy.
Okay.
Are some of the things we are looking at.
Let's hold it there because I'm going to have to run to Power News headlines. But people of Power, I'll be putting you on the line, 0861-987-000. This is your conversation. You have to put some questions, as Dakota Lekwete puts across the promise of the African National Congress for the 2021 local government elections. Thomas White.
Power Talk on Power 98.7.
24 minutes to the hour, 11 o'clock. We continue with our conversation with the ANC's National Executive Committee member, Dakota Lekgwete, as he puts across the promise of the ANC in the 2021 local government elections. I'm going to come to you on that line, 0861-987-000, as you'll be able to put some questions to him. Dakota, before we go to the lines, I do want to deal with the elephant in the room. You've spoken a lot about, you know, the legislative design, whether it is the problem of DORA, whether it is the problem of, you know, lack of shared services. But there's something else that is endemic in the municipalities. And the president, in his message, in the manifesto, he writes and he says, that's President Ramaphosa of the ANC, he writes and he says, as I quote, "Many municipalities have not delivered as they should have. There is corruption, waste and underspending. We are getting rid of corrupt and self-serving councillors." Now, you know the Inokum Gijima local municipality that is out there now. There is a huge issue brewing in the Eastern Cape. They are now blaming the public protector. But that story has been in the public domain. Mail and Guardian published on that story a long time ago. It's been in the public domain that money was siphoned out of the Bizana local municipality, now the Winnie Madikizela Mandela local municipality, for the benefit of some elites connected to the ANC. We know that the MEC for Health in the Eastern Cape, for example, Sindiswa Gomba, has had to step aside because of issues that happened when she was in the Buffalo City municipality. We've seen in your province of the Northwest, either officials, some officials being arrested by the Hawks for impropriety in terms of managing resources. How big a corruption, I mean, and lastly, just in your province, Moss Parkway is the biggest point, says he had handed over a dossier to the leadership of the ANC. Nothing was done, and he was killed for issues at the Rustenburg municipality. How serious an issue is corruption in ANC-governed municipalities, and what are you really doing about it? Not just the promise to deal with them, but specifically, what are you doing to get rid of these self-serving and corrupt councillors, as the president says?
No, thank you very much once again. Look, as part of points of what we wanted to do as the ANC to deal with corruption was to raise the level of development and consciousness amongst our cadres. As a response to that, we have brought in the O.R. Tambo Political School so that we train some of them on the norms, values, and what the African National Congress stands for. We have had leaders before, Tambo, Mandela, Moses Kotane, J.B. Marx, Ruth First, Lillian Ngoyi, Winnie Mandela. Those have been leaders who have been honest, who have served the revolution with the necessary diligence and dignity to our people. Now we have dropped the ball, admit that some amongst us today, they are self-serving because they are in the ANC not to serve our people, but to serve themselves. And I think it's a matter that we need to confront because their conduct speaks louder than what they can explain. Because it's not understandable when a stadium is built and it's supposed to be built at 15 million. Half of that amount is used and it's claimed to be 15 million.
Mm.
Yeah, and some of our comrades and some public servants needs to know that corruption is an economic sabotage, because something that was supposed to be bought at 10 rand, it's going to be bought at 100 rand. But who loses? It's a taxpayer and a ratepayer who has paid for those services, but the price has been ballooned to benefit an individual at the expense of a nation. It's wrong. Morally, ethically, and otherwise, it cannot be encouraged and promoted. And as the ANC, we took a resolution in NASREC to bring about the Zondo Commission. We took a resolution to bring about self-correction and renewal within our ranks. And that is what we're working towards. Some of our comrades, if they're not careful, they are going to end up in jail.
But the Zondo Commission, you couldn't have avoided, because if somebody had just gone to court, it would have been enforced. And in fact, there were members of going to court. But I get the point that you endorsed that the Zondo Commission should go ahead and be appointed. Do you think there's something that needs to be done about the tendering system in South Africa?
Yes, I think there is something that needs to be done, and we are working towards as the NC that we. That's why even in our first pledge, the president said that we pledge to do more and better. By better, we mean that some of the services can be done at a municipal level without the use of a service provider, without the use of a consultant. So we want to reduce the number of contractors as well as consultants who are working in municipalities. And that's why now we are bringing in the district development model, because in a district development model, we will be able, through a shared service, to share engineers, to share the necessary capacity and skills, which would assist us that we must better manage employees at the local government level. And I think that is basically what we are planning to do going forward as part of ensuring that we bring sustainable services to our people.
Okay.
And I must say, that part of what we intend doing is to go on expanding job opportunities at a municipal level through expanded public works program. But that public works program, this time we're intending to have a skills acquisition as part of the exit strategy, so that whoever that we bring into an expanded public works program, when they leave, they can leave with the necessary skills which can help them to maintain and sustain themselves beyond the program of the EPWP. For instance, some would be trained in road patching, in concrete management. Some would be trained in sign writing so that they can know how to spray and sign and create stop signs and all the necessary signs in municipalities. Some would be trained in terms of wastewater treatment plant management to become wastewater plant technicians, because one of the challenges that has been a serious challenge in municipalities is the management of the wastewater treatment plant, because many of them are overflowing, others are blocked, others have not been working for a number of years. Now, raw sewer goes straight into our environment, into our rivers, and that has a potential to bring high levels of E. coli in our water network, which would be very much disastrous to the health of citizens.
Let's go to the people. They are on the line, Mr. Lekgwete. Kabelo, good morning.
Morning, Lekgwete.
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Maybe
just hang on, Kabelo. Let's sort out Ntate Lekgwete so that he can hear you properly.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you good now?
Yes.
Okay. Kabelo, go ahead.
No, thanks. Ntate Lekgwete, you know, you would remember 2007 Polokwane Conference resolved around the implementation of Rural Development Plan. So I think the Rural Development Plan, it will be better placed as well as the DDM model to accelerate service delivery and also ensure that we've got capacity and also transforming municipalities that are unable to be effective. But the tricky part is that as the ANC, ANC is entrenched factionalism to a point that it hinders credibility of appointing skilled, relevant government practitioners. So that is why we're unable to find good governance.
Mm.
If we can deal with factionalism and also the tendencies that hinders around that, we'll be able to resolve much. Because when you check the Deputy Minister of COCTA, Mengadine, revealed that 63% of councillors are unable to read and write. And also, 20% of them possesses financial management skills. So you see that we've given the responsibility of implementation of service delivery within municipalities to people who are incompetent. So as the ANC,
okay,
we need to deal much with appointing credible councillors who will be able to understand the C9 report and also the council resolution and the implementation of all the systems that governs local
Kabelo,
government.
Kabelo, got you loud and clear. Thank you. Let me move on. Hamlet, good morning.
Good morning to you and to your guest, Lukona. Quickly, I mean, this district model that your guest is talking about, that there will be shared services there, I would say that we have seen that currently within the district format that we have. It's not the issue here is not that there is lack of technical expertise in certain municipalities. I'm going to make one example very quickly.
Mm.
In Kekeng Refuge, your guest knows very well about this story. The Northwest. They went to court. They won the court. The municipality gave the function to restore that water treatment plant so that it can be operational and produce clean water. It was done, and they handed back the water treatment plant after 6 months to the municipality with clean, drinkable water. The skill was there in that local, small, rural municipality. So for me, is that, like your previous guest caller said, it's the problem of the ANC when it comes to deploying the right, people in right position so that service delivery can be done. You cannot talk about special, development framework now. It has been a language of the ANC for the past 20 years.
Okay.
For me, a rural a province like Limpopo, where agriculture is the economic driver, you need to bring beneficiation, supply chain, that are related to farming into those communities so that you can create jobs and develop those small
economies. Let's leave it there. Thank you very much. Gabo, good morning.
Good morning, Lukona, and good morning to our guests. You know, every time when you ask the people from the ruling party, either the president or the spokesperson or whoever, they always tell you that you have done well. I don't know what is the basis of this, answer, because you recall very well in the areas that you are familiar with, Kotswaini municipality in Northwest. That place has been characterized by poor water quality and lack of water for more than 20 years, I understand. So I don't know. But my question is, I just want to get his view on the issue of coalition, because I believe in municipalities like both Pane and Joburg, those are traditional ANC municipalities, né? But we have seen the emergence of a new trend there, the coalition. I think from where I'm sitting, is because of the ANC's failure to deliver on its mandate. The betrayal to its mandate has resulted into the coalition. So I just want to understand what is his view on the coalition. Is it because of the ANC failure or is it because of something else?
Gabo, I got you loud and clear. I know I've got to pay bills, Peter. Let me take Modise, then pay bills, give Ntatelekgwede a chance to respond. Modise, good morning.
Hey, Lukona, how are you, my brother?
I'm well. How are you this morning?
Very good. Ntatelekgwede, dumela.
Dumela, mokgaitso.
Bro, ki concern ka tswa in generally. Since 1994, okay, originally I'm from Sanisof, but ke mo Gauteng. Mara ke na le di family ko kopela ko gana la gte ko kae bo rwa ga ha re na go na ditsela since 1994 ke batla go botsa gore are you happy ka situation fela ya tswa. I'm not going to include bo Kenneth Kaunda bo motsheremuilwa bo e ka tswa in fela e le one fela bo rwa, are you happy? And the other thing ke taba ele ya ko ya a place ko ke ba kolobeng mo bo khone mo calling mo la I don't know why tswara
e ke tswara.
Yes, re na le problem mo borwa ka, we want a land go nna ko teng but we can't because we are told we are not ba kolobeng. And ka to 2021 my brother, you can't go Kopleke and then you are told you are not from the tribal community. Okay. There. So it's totally wrong.
Let's
can you please address those two?
Okay, thank you very much. Peter, let's pay bills. Come back to Dakota Lekgwede.
9 a.m. to noon. This is Power Talk on Power 98.7.
Wednesday political feature that we do here on Power Talk, we are talking to the African National Congress. Dakota Lekgwede, NEC member, is joining us. You've heard from Kabelo, Hamlet, Gabo, Modise. I still have some people on the line, so please just try and respond in quite a compact way and so that we can go back to that line.
No, thank you very much once more, my brother. Look, I agree with the first question on the issue of how factionalism can be detrimental to any organization, in particular the governing party, because by implication, if the governing party is divided, it has a potential to divide society. It has a potential to divide all walks of life in that particular country. And I don't think it's something good for us as the ANC. It's something good for the future of our children, because we can, by and large, play with a civil war. We can, by and large, play with something which would be very dangerous for economy if we continue factionalism, because that is the implication of factionalism. where you see civil wars, you must know they either started or they were concocted in a factional meeting. And that is what is detrimental and poses a threat to the future of the country and the economy of the country and the future of our children. That's what we must think about as leadership of the ANC, because we don't lead only ourselves, we lead the entire society as a governing party. I think we must be sincere and considerate to that particular point. The issue of skills, it's a serious matter. I think the issue of skills now, out of experience that we have had in local government, you would know, for somebody to run a company in a private sector with a budget of 70 billion rand, that particular person, either as a CEO or a chairperson of the board, is required to have some particular level of education, level of skills. And that is not what we have done in the past 20 years when we deploy some comrades into mayoral position, when we deploy them as members of the mayoral committee of finance. We have been deploying comrades as comrades, but we have not looked much into their skills capacity, and it's a problem because some of them, they can't interpret your Section 36 reports, your Section 71 reports of MFMA, which comes monthly in terms of revenue, in terms of payments, in terms of supply chain processes. So some of them, it's difficult to interpret such statements. It's difficult sometimes to interpret an annual financial statement. It's difficult for them to formulate a budget because, you know, the mayor is the chairperson of the budget committee and the mayor must know all the rents and cents as they go in and out of the institution. And it has become very prudent to us as the ANC to see that just like it's done in the private sector, you would need some basic skills to can do that particular work. And that's why we're going to take all our employees through an interview to check their skills capacity in terms of running such institution. We don't say somebody must have an MBA to be a mayor, but somebody must be knowledgeable on basic requirements of local government in terms of its legislation, in terms of the regulations, and all the necessary requirements which are needed at that particular level of government. So that's what we are working on. On the issue of having done well as the ANC, I think facts speaks for themselves. As much as there are municipalities where we have not done well, there are others where we have done well. And we also have done well on other aspects of services which are provided at the provincial and national level. And I think what we need to work on is to improve local government. And that's why this time we don't pay, we don't come with a rhetoric, we don't come with if or buts. We are bringing a strategy in terms of the district development model, which will assist us.
But I mean, Kabelo says, taking you straight on the DDM model, on the district development model, says you took a resolution in 2007 for a rural development plan. And I remember very well, former President Zuma launched a pilot in Giani. We know what the issues are. Incomplete projects, lots of money spent, nothing accruing in terms of development to the people of Giani. It was a pilot for the rural development plan, which would become a master plan. I mean, why then should people trust that this time around you'll get it right? But before you respond to me, let's listen to Matume. He's been on the line for a while. Matume, good morning.
Morning, Luka, and your guest there. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Go ahead.
I'm okay, thanks. I just wanted to check with your guests if they are accountable enough to go back with their president to the people of Alexander and account on the million houses that they were promised in 2016. And then the last point is, if at the ANC, they are really, do they have the best interests of their constituents, with the people that are voting for them at heart? Because if you look what is happening in the South Africa, the ANC doesn't want to pronounce on the illegal immigrants and all this and the people that are operating in the country illegally. Well, they are benefiting, and the people who vote for them, like us, we vote for them, okay, but we don't benefit because we don't get anything.
Madume, let's leave it there. Give Maureen a chance. Good morning.
Hi, Lucan. How are you?
Fantastic. And yourself?
I'm good.
Go ahead.
That's a DK. Hello, Ligaima.
But the DK, all that I've been hearing is we will do better, read this and read that. That DK, it's been 27 years. It has been 27 years, and as a young person of South Africa, I feel like even my son has got no future in this country. That if the ANC cared about black people, those who, whom they claim they have liberated from apartheid, you will not be stealing from us. And I'm saying you, because you shield each other. That dedicate all that you guys do is policies that's got no direction. You give us intentions instead of a future, a fruitful future. So do you not agree with me that it is time? You have done enough damage, actually, more than good.
Okay, Maureen, let's hold it there. I think the gist of the matter is well registered. Little Honolo, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Mine is simple, when I look on.
Go for it.
You, a 27-year-old child today is a full-grown young adult who actually knows what is good for him or her. But I'm not there. I just want to ask Ndatele Gwete, don't they think it's about time that lifestyle audits get implemented as is? Because I can give you an example right now.
Okay. Let's leave the explanation so that he has a chance to respond. Little Hororo, lifestyle audits, even the president had promised them, still yet to be implemented. How do you respond to that?
Thank you very much once again. Look, lifestyle audits needs to be conducted, like as part of ensuring that we renew ourselves as the African National Congress, because there have been a lot of stories about some of us in leadership. There has been stories about our conduct in office. There has been stories about allegations of corruption. Some of us are even suspected of living beyond our means, and that is a challenge, because if you bring somebody who lives beyond his means, that person becomes a liability and a risk factor on the institution. And I think the only thing that can bring us on par in terms of understanding that person's lifestyle, it's when we deal with the lifestyle audit, so that they can account from an individual point of view before we talk about you either being the mayor or minister or MSC or premier. So I think that's what that's a point where we need to start. I agree that it has been 27 years that we have been in power, but I think it will only be fair that we must, when we make a critique, we must also look at the good that has been done. It's not like the situation has been hopeless. We have had, we have done good, but also have had challenges. And some of the challenges, we have saw them, are mainly issues of how we conduct ourselves in terms of ethics and morality, to a point that some of us were caught on corrupt activities and on corrupt acts. And I think it's only best that the law enforcement agencies, the prosecutorial authority, must play their role in ensuring that we get convictions of those who have unduly taken the taxpayers' money to enrich themselves and for personal and self-aggrandizement. It cannot be encouraged, particularly from some of us who comes from a revolutionary movement called the African National Congress. It cannot be correct. President Tambo was not a thief. He was not a thug. The best we could learn is to learn from President Oliver Tambo in terms of what is revolutionary morality and revolutionary ethics. And okay, I think it will be the best part of what we can do.
And unfortunately, I'm out of time. 1 minute past 11, but leaving it on that note, reminding people of the founding values and saying that Amasela do not in any way reflect the values of the founding fathers and leaders of the African National Congress.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.